not live and almost from Beverly Hills, it's the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Welcome to another episode of the Bob Dean Show, coming to you from the LA School of Comedy at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful Persian Westwood. And I would like to thank Sunde Kronqvist, the owner and director of the LA School of Comedy, for letting us lease the space. She is in Miami right now on tour. But we will be appearing this Monday night, the 12th, at the Laugh Factory, Sunset and Laurel, 7:30 showtime. So I hope you'll come out and see me and the other comics or some new comics that are going up for the first time. Everybody's right. So the Laugh Factory, 7:30 p.m. on Monday. Let's see what else. Oh, I want to say happy birth to Parker Charlotte Dean, my second grandniece next to Lola. They're just a couple months apart. Parker is 9 weeks premature, but she's healthy and growing fast, and she will be in the hospital for another few weeks. So say a prayer for little Parker and welcome. She's just a beautiful little baby. She's so teeny tiny. It's creepy. I guess that's what preemies are, huh? Anyway, here we go. along with my producer, Sammy Junio. Hi, Sammy.
Hi.
And sidekick, Dennis Olson.
Hola.
And, of course, my guest tonight is my buddy, Matt Baca.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
How you doing? We're going to get into you, little Matt, and I've been friends for years. Matt is a comic and a teacher, and he's a very interesting fellow and a really cool dude. And we're going to center on that. But first, we're going to do my blast from the past friend. And tonight, it's Nashville's own Randall Crawford. We'll be speaking to him soon. Right now, we're going to call Nicole Summerfield, our 405 traffic reporter, who works in Brentwood and lives in Long Beach. And for those of you that don't know, the 405, the busiest stretch of freeway in the entire world, is in our area of Sunset, Santa Monica, Wilshire area. And if you can.
Hello, Bob Dean.
Hi, Nicole Summerfield. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
I'm sorry we've missed you for a while. We've been on different schedules and timing and all that. So how is it on the 405?
Well, there are Tesla brake lights to the left of me, Alfa Romeo brake lights in front of me, and Bentley brake lights to the right. So I'm somewhere in Westwood on the 405.
What speed are you going? Oh, wait, brake lights. That means you're sitting still yet again.
Yeah, you know, I've been sitting here for a little bit. In fact, parking enforcement just came by a couple minutes ago and said, you know, you're going to get a ticket if you park here.
If you're in the sixth lane of the 405 parked, which is about how good it goes. You know, it's so funny, though, because when you're going 15 miles an hour at rush hour, that's making time.
That's true.
You know, I love reading all these things about, you know, there's like luxury apartment complexes that are coming up all over L.A. that are right on the freeway, literally just by a wall. And, you know, the reports of how dangerous, you know, carbon monoxide and all that is. People are saying, you know something else? Before I forget, all you friggin' anti-smoking Nazi commandos that are all pro-pot, kiss my beep. You people bitching about secondhand smoke. You know that commercial on TV? Speak up about secondhand smoke, California, where the chick blows the smoke upstairs, right? I keep auditioning for that part because I want to blow the smoke up into the baby's room. Right,
the preemies are.
But Nicole and gang here in the studio, have you noticed how everywhere you go now smells like fucking reefer?
Put that in the baby's room.
Yeah.
Are you there, Nicole?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, have you smelt any in the dental office or in Brentwood or you know in hip Long? Everybody's the buzz. Long Beach is the buzz. You and Ben moved down there before.
Well, like literally just yesterday at my Huntington Beach office. I walked outside to get something from my car, and there was a guy smoking a joint straight outside the office.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have friends who cannabis is really, especially the oils, I think it's marvelous for people with pain and glaucoma and all that sort of thing. Yeah, go for it. But I love it. Like these kids in the restaurant where I work, they're just fucking, pardon me, they're out of it all the time. And they're so proud of their reefer collect, you know, this and that and the other thing. And come on, I don't care what anybody freaking says. Pot just makes you stupid. It's fun and makes you laugh and all that. But what was on the news the other day? It's like car accidents are up like 16% and blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about Nicole.
I smell it all the time sitting on the 405.
Yeah, seriously. You smell it in traffic. It's everywhere. So, and you know, so if any of you guys are pro pot, which is fine, and you're anti cigarette smoking, shut the beep up. Oh, sorry.
It's still smoke.
I just hacked up a big old phlegm ball. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so Nicole, I've screwed up. I might have to work on Sunday, so I don't know if we're going to be able to come down and visit. But hopefully it'll work out, because you know I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory Monday, but I don't expect you guys to come because it's just such a pain to get up here. And I know, you've been doing it. Have you ever been to one of my shows? You've been to one. Anyway, so how's Ben? How's the new puppy? Tell us about the new puppy. Ben is your husband, by the way.
The new puppy is coming along. She's a handful. I love her to death. She's very kind, very sweet, not aggressive at all towards any humans or animals. The cats are actually beating the shit out of her. but she's good. She'll be good. I mean, the hour of puppy training when we go to class on Sunday is like the most stressful hour of my life, and I need to drink the rest of the day afterwards. But at some point, she's going to be good.
Well, you know, you did a great thing by rescuing yet another animal. You guys have like the whatchamacallit, like a mini zoo at your place, and it still manages to always be spotless and smell good. I don't know how that works. We were thinking about starting to foster a dog. But it would have to be someone that's really docile and would get along with the cats. But, you know, there's always room for one more because some jerk's throwing them out. But what is puppy's name?
Zaya.
Zaya. Because Zara was your shepherd that you had in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yes. How's mom and dad?
Good, I think. Spoke with them this morning. They're expecting some snow possibly today.
Honey, Laurie got, you know, my sister lives in Goldsboro, which is at the top of the Poconos. They had 23 inches 2 days ago, 3 days ago, with hurricane force winds. Which, wow. I'd love to experience that for like 3 days with a fireplace and a bunch of booze, but after that, forget it. So have you gone over a mile yet on the 405?
Not quite.
And ladies and gentlemen, she is not exaggerating. We've been talking for 10 minutes. And she's well, Nicole, I love you very much. We're going to let you go. Please tell Ben hi. Kiss all the puppies and kitties and bless you. And I'll let you know as soon as I can find out about Sunday.
All right. Good talking to you.
You too, baby. Love you. Bye.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye, Nicole. Good luck.
Bye. Thanks.
Okay, now, Nicole, she was my first friend, and she denies that she did this, but when I pull up with my Roadmaster station wagon in my U-Haul.
Did you sell that already?
No, it's not.
I saw that post.
I've got it. It's Sammy used it for a while, and, you know, she was giving us a little heating trouble, but she's okay now. But I've got it priced really high because I've had that car for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And I love her. And all you got to do is get behind the wheel once. And it's like a friggin' Cadillac station wagon on wheels, isn't it? The leather, and it rides
like
great.
A tank.
She's beautiful. She's awesome. And so she's just, I know, so I was telling Dennis tonight, she's friggin' pissing off the neighbors. Because I have three cars now, and the Roadmaster, we just moved from one side of the street to the other.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got it priced really high because, you know, the right person will come along, hopefully. You know what? I'm getting all these texts from... people like, hello, my name is John Smith. I cannot meet you in person because I am on a secret army base in the yeah. Philippines. Yeah,
right.
But I want to pay cash for the car for my father. And they're very well written and believable emails.
Right.
It's not like those ones from the Prince of Zaire or whatever. You know, the punctuation, the spelling is good and all that. But it says, you know, I cannot meet you, but if you will open a PayPal account. I will put my money in there, and then I will have the car picked up by flatbed. And the first time that, you know, I texted back, I'm like, you know, sorry. And then the second one that I got, I was the same thing, except he was, you know, had broken his hand or something. And I'm like, nice try, douchebag. Anyway,
the red flags get bigger.
Yeah,
and bigger.
So yeah, we still have the Roadmaster. If anybody needs to borrow a station wagon that seats nine, did I tell you about the time I went up to the Uber thing? That when sometimes when I take all my comedy ideas on scraps of paper, I put them in this big bag, And then when I feel the urge to write, I go up to the public library on Santa Monica Boulevard because there's a big old table and I can take out all these little pieces of paper and cocktail napkins and go, okay, this is a work topic, school, whatever.
Relationship, whatever.
Yeah, and then I can just toss it, go, that's stupid or whatever. And then I just write in my three. Well, anyway, right across at the West Los Angeles compound of the courthouse and all that, there's a big empty parking lot where Uber sets up their tent. And people go there to, you know, sign up. And it's like, you know, 10 guys and gals in their Uber polo shirts and the big tent, and they all have clipboards and all that. And so I noticed one day that they were all just kind of milling around. There was nobody there. So I come chugging up in the Roadmaster and wearing a Hawaiian shirt and shorts and freaking camel hanging out of my teeth. I think I was wearing probably my, you know, Braille Institute baseball cap. And I get, and they're just staring at me, and I pull up into the area and I get out and I'm like, hey! And I take the cigarette. I'm like, is this where I sign up for Uber? I was serious as a heart attack. They were just mortified, and they're like, "Well, we think your car's a little old." And I go, "Listen, she has her problems. The driver's seatbelt doesn't retract. The left turn signal you have to turn off manually. But the air conditioner works great, and it seats 9."
Picking up those big drunk fraternity parties.
Oh my God! I friggin', you know, Uber's they just have made a massive mess of valet parking everywhere because they just sit. Yeah. And you douchebags who, you know, when you call an Uber, be out on the curb waiting for it. Don't be saying goodbye to Muffy, Tuffy, and Sis. Okay, now, that's my... You guys can jump in anytime. You know how I love to rant.
I like it, though.
Okay, we're going to call my Blast from the Past guest. Oh, let me get this phone here. We're going to call Randall Crawford, my buddy from Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to talk... I'm going to tell you how I met this dude and all that other good stuff. Oh, where's his damn... Okay, wait. Oh, by the way, next week we're going to have on Sylvia Sage, my comedian friend. She's a comic and an actual porn star. So tune in next week. Oh, I didn't... Oh, God. Hold on, everybody. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Okay. Dee-dee-dee-dee. Shut up, y'all. I am technologically challenged. I hate it. Ringy dingy. Hello, is this Randall Crawford?
This is Randall.
Randall, hi, it's Bob Dean from the Bob Dean Show in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Bob Man, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Rand Man? That's our nickname, y'all, for each other.
Rand Man.
Listen, now, y'all are going to have in for a treat because whenever I speak to any of my friends from the South, my southern accent
goes right in.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. And Randall, you're about as southern as they come. How are you,
I'm
my buddy?
As country as you can get.
Your country's calling, baby.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, life.
How's a big city life,
dude? It's pretty awesome. Except for the traffic, and it costs. You know how you're. Are you still in your Bellmead apartment?
No, actually, I'm over in Berry Hill.
Berry Hill. Oh, that's right.
By Miss Grissom's.
By Miss Grissom's Salads. Yeah, that's where Auto Air and Sound or the McHugh and Cherry. That's where was my yuppie scum phase from 87 to 90. And the Cherry family, they're marvelous. But that was my remember when I first met you. Or no?
Yeah, well, I live right down the road from Miss Grissom's world famous pimento cheese and chicken salad sandwiches.
That's right. And for y'all that don't know it, that's the best pimento cheese and chicken salad in the world, Miss Grissom. Now, do you have a house there?
Yeah.
Well, because Berry Hill is a really interesting, those little teen, they're like little teeny tiny luxury looking dollhouses. And those places now are going for what, 500,000 or something? I remember seeing how
they were built in the, from 58 to 65, the neighborhood was. Everybody there is like 60 to 70, 80, lived there forever. Mm-hmm. And those houses sold for like, originally for like 30,000. Mm-hmm. Here in the past, you know, 10 years, they've been like 80,000, 90,000, and now this year they've jumped up to 350,000.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's outrageous because everybody from LA is moving to Nashville.
Yeah. 100 people a day.
Seriously, and I was talking. Who was it I was talking to? Do you know Boyer Barner, that tall blonde guy? He's really cool. He used to be. Yeah, you know. Nashville is still a small town. Well, Boyer was our guest a couple weeks ago when we were broadcasting from. Do you ever listen to Coast to Coast? George Norrie at night?
Yeah, late night.
Yeah, late night. Okay, well, anyway, he's a good
friend. Especially when if I'm driving across the country, I always listen, you know.
Yeah, well, George Norrie is a good friend of mine, and he's been on the show a couple times, and we broadcast a show from his studio here in Los Angeles. And anyway, Boyer was the guest, and he was talking about it, and he said that if he picked me up at the airport and put a blindfold on and took me downtown, I would have no idea where I was.
Right. You would think that you were, like, somewhere outside of Chicago, just coming into Chicago or Seattle or something like that, because that's the new building downtown are cranes.
That's what I was going to say. Do you guys have, like, a crane contest going on or something like that? Because
there are. I was home a week or so ago, and there was 40-some-odd cranes that I counted just doing the 440 loop around downtown.
No kidding.
That's like Colorado. That's like Denver. Denver's exactly the same way.
Well, you know, it was like
National Bird.
Portland, Seattle, Austin. Yeah, I'm getting on my soapbox. Portland, Seattle, Austin. Now it's national. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, the vibe is so cool, blah, blah, blah. But it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the real estate you can buy, you know. Because I was going to say that Belmead apartment, because Belmead is the Beverly Hills of Nashville, and you had that really sweet apartment. An apartment like that out here, Randall, is $3,500 a month.
I was paying, when I moved out of there in 2005 and moved to Berry Hill, I was paying $1,000 a month, and my rent was going up to $1,150 for that apartment. And now that same apartment is $1,780 for one bedroom.
Unbelievable. Well, anyway, but yeah, Los Angeles is wonderful. Thank you for asking, except for the cost of living. It's crazy. But it's funny, you know, because I'll look at a steak in the supermarket that's like $15, and I'm like, are you kidding me? But I won't bat an eye dropping $15 on a martini with a $5 tip. But being an ex-bartender yourself, and you know I stole 10 more. So, Rand, you know, I'm going to tell everybody how we first met. Do you remember?
All right, go ahead.
What was the name of that bar, that seedy little roadhouse on
Winona's and Juanita's.
Yeah, and that was on Nolensville Pike, and it was like this little freestanding building and like right across from the racetrack and the fairgrounds.
It was 1,000 square feet. So if anybody wants to know, that's about a 15 by 15 room
with a pool table right in the middle.
Yeah, you know, 20 by 25.
And then we'd stuff like 300 people.
200 to 300.
After hours, yeah. And I had just moved back to Tennessee, and, you know, my social circle, I didn't have a lot of, you know, friends. Long story short is that I knew about 4 people in that place, and somebody had told me about it. And I go out, and, you know, I was driving my mom's Chevrolet station wagon, and I was parked across the street. It was black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and I had a flat tire, and I didn't have a flashlight. And I go back in, and the 3 people, I'm like, can somebody come out here and help me out? Just hold the flashlight. I did have a flashlight. Can you just hold the light for me? And my friends were like, nah, because everybody's all fucked up. And you were standing next to your friend Greg. Somebody had just introduced me to him, and you just perked right up and you said, I'll help you. I had never seen you before in my life.
Right.
And of course, you were so tall.
Never seen you before. Yeah.
You were tall, lanky, and good looking, had all that thick hair. And you said, I'll help you out. And we went out, and you changed that damn tire for me, and you were my hero from that day on and friend.
That's what you told me that night. And I changed your tire, and you said, well, I owe you. I said, you don't owe me nothing, man. And you said, well, I'll buy you a beer. I said, okay, whatever, you know. And you said, you're my hero from here on out.
Yeah, seriously, dude. Because I can change a tire, but I can't change a tire when there's no light.
Fucked up at 3:34 in the morning.
Fucked up, really. I didn't want to throw that part in, but I was smashed, man. And that was pre-airbag.
I mean, I was right there. I was right there with you. I mean, I was 2 sheets in the wind also, you know, but.
We were just wild children, especially at the World's End. I tended bar there, you tended bar there, and that place was.
Yep, you taught me how to bartend and gave me a job there. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, nice. You know, but that was I got fired from there. I get fired every 3 years. That's what we were talking about earlier, like clockwork. But this is I'm still tend bar. People say, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a comedian and an actor," which means I'm a bartender. And but I have this really good gig in Beverly Hills, and. So I got to keep my big trap shut. I've been there 8 years. It's the longest job I've ever had without getting fired for my attitude. What's wrong with my stinking attitude, you freak?
At a certain age, they can't fire us anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Really, we have a following.
Tenure.
It's usually, Randall, you'll get this. It's like something like this. You'll just be standing there, and it might be a day when you're not feeling so hot. And some jerk is like, I can tell the difference between Grey Goose and Smirnoff and a Bloody Mary. And you're like, no, you can't, you douche.
Well, I had to quit bartending because I could never get fired or anything. So, you know, and so I just quit finally. I got tired of it. You know, customers come in and you know, or a rusty nail, and you go make a rusty nail. Well, this ain't got no bourbon in it. Well, you know, goddamn rusty nails don't have bourbon in it. You know?
Exactly. And I used to drink rusty nails at the World's Ed all the time. And that's two part scotch and one part drambuie, shaken, and it's served up or on the rocks with a cherry or a twist. And I used to drink those all the time. Remember that big red Bonneville convertible I used to have?
Yes, I sure do.
I kept, like, running over walls and stuff, so... State Farm sent me a letter and said, Mr. Dean, we can no longer cover you if you continue to drink rusty nails, so I had to switch.
It would be, it's like one of those cars that would be a million-dollar car, you know, if it was, like, you know, restored and all that, and you just drove it just like she was, and she ran just fine and looked just fine.
And that's the biggest woulda, shoulda, coulda. Remember that yellow Cadillac I had, too, that big sedan DeVille?
I remember the sedan DeVille.
Oh, my God. Well, you know.
I remember the station wagon and the red car, and then... I've seen online, you know, the post where you've had two other cars that kind of in that same family, convertible, old, big cars.
Yeah, well, I have.
That you've been in L.A.
I have a Roadmaster wagon, and I just bought it. Well, it's been a year, an 86 LeBaron convertible, and it's like brand new. Bought it from the original owner. It's really cool. And then I leased
it. Oh, man, I had one of those.
They're great, aren't they? They're K cars.
Oh, I got one, yeah.
They're what?
But I made K-car. It. I kept it for about 6 weeks because a guy offered me $2,001. I paid for it, and it leaked out of the windshield.
Well,
but you know, when the top was down, I didn't care. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's and Matt said, "What's a K car?" And a K car was, remember when Lee Iacocca took over Chrysler when they were bankrupt in the '80s, and he designed the K car, which was the Dodge Aries and the Plymouth Reliant. And then the first convertible to roll off the showroom floor in 1983 went to Brooke Shields. Yeah, because Ralph Nader put the kibosh on the convertible in 1676 was the last year for, like, the big ones. And then there were no more convertibles, and then Lee Iacocca brought them back. Because they are a death trap if you flip, you know.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, at least I'll die pretty. But anyway.
Do you still have people, like, in your studio, like, on your podcast things?
What,
like,
do we?
You know, people, like, people come in your studio and you interview them and all that?
Well, that's what we're doing right now. I've got.
I'm not in your studio. You got people in there now.
Well, no, we're in the studio. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce you. We have Miss Sammy Junio, my producer.
Hey, Wed.
And Dennis, my sidekick buddy Dennis Olson, who just kind of does a lot of those things. And we want to give a shout out to Zach Herndon up there in Bloomington, Illinois, who was part of the original cast here at the Bob Dean Show, and he does work for us. Bob Dean Show, I said.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Matt Baca is another friend of mine. He is a comedian and an educator, and he's here in the studio tonight.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Hello, nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, you too.
What was it? I wanted to say one more thing, and then I want to hear about what you're doing now. I remember when I ran into you in that bar in West Hollywood, and you were shooting pool, and this is what, 7 years ago? And
about 7, yeah.
Yeah, and you said what the reason you didn't call is because you were only in for the night because you were what were you doing? But the whole point about it is, like, a year later I'm watching TV and you're on the friggin' Price is Right.
I was Price is Right, yeah.
Yeah, and you won.
So funny.
I met this guy in Nashville from LA, and he was friends with a friend of mine. So I was at their house after the bar and stuff like that, and we kind of talked and chatted and hooked up, whatever, you know, and he said, well, you ought to come to L.A. and see me. I said, and so it was like Sunday night, so he stayed over. So Monday morning, I had to get up and watch Price is Right. And, you know, from bartending, you know, I don't bartend, so, I got up. And he was like, man, he said, you know all prices on that. You ought to come out here and be on the show. And I was like, I'd love to. So anyway, he got online and on my computer and got me tickets and my name and everything and said, it's set. All you got to do is fly out here and you stay with me. So I flew out there, stayed with him, and went to the Price is Right, and they called me up on the stage right away, and I won some motorcycles.
You won two motorcycles and some cash.
Oh my God.
And, of course, I'm late on the show, but I'm hungover as hell, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's Rand Man.
Saw you that night, and I was leaving the next day to come home, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Well, so what are you doing these days since you're not bartending?
Well, this is going to freak you out. I tune and repair pipe organs in churches.
Holy cow.
I know, right?
Oh. Holy cow.
Okay. A friend of mine that I've known for since the world's end for about, since 98, so that's what, 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Belmont College, studied Oregon, and worked for a big organ builder and everything. And so, in the meantime, 5 years ago, he fired the guy that helped him, and asked me if, you know, I had a cleaning business at one time, and he said, I've got to go clean this big old organ out in Houston. You want to go with me and help me out? He said, you know, I'll pay you 50 bucks out of cash and overtime and, you know, $50 a day to eat on and free hotel room and all that. And I was like, well,
all the perks.
Yeah, let's go. And, yeah, everything. So it was pretty cool. So I went out there and I made a couple $1,000. And I've been working for him ever since. Right now I'm in Midland, Texas.
Midland, Texas.
We've got Midland, Texas, out in West Texas. You can't see the end of the world here, but it's right close by. But, you know, that's what they say. So, yeah, everybody here is either rich and in oil wells, or they work for the people who are rich and in oil wells.
And like Dallas.
Well, La Quinta room here is, and you can look it up on the computer, runs from 250 to 400 a night.
In a La Quinta?
La Quinta.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Other rooms are 700 and 800 a night, and you can't. We found 2 weeks ago we were out here, we had to come back. We were doing some restoration on Oregon First Presbyterian Church down here downtown. And we stay at one of the parishioners' guest house behind their home with a pool and all that, which is fucking awesome, free.
Hell yeah.
But anyways, we found two rooms, one at one hotel for $250 a night and one at another hotel for $400 a night, and you could only get it for two nights. We're going to be here for 11.
Why?
That's how booked they are.
Why are they so booked in Midland, Texas? What else is going on there?
Because, the oil is pumping up again, and believe it or not, out of 100%, right now, there's more oil pumped in Midland, Texas than there is pumped in Saudi Arabia, just in Midland.
No
kidding. Out of 750 working pumping oil wells in the United States, 680 of them are in Midland, Texas.
Holy crap.
Well, Saudi's going to
right.
Well, that's a fun fact. Thank you, Randolph. Honestly, we had no idea.
It is unbelievable.
And there you are working on big old organs. Are we talking like the big old wooden kind that are built into the wall too? You know, like in the we're talking about those big old organs, like in roller rinks and churches that have the giant pipes, the big beautiful instruments.
Yeah.
Now,
some of the ones we work on have like 200 or 300 pipes. And some of them have 4,000 or 5,000 pipes. And we tune every single pipe when we go to tune it. And it's like twice a year, like before Easter, you know, when it starts getting warm, you know, because it changes the pitch on the
Like playing the mouth organ or anything, right? It's like,
I do that whenever I do that if I get a chance while I'm visiting and touring.
For our youthful listeners out there, we're talking about steak sandwiches. wait a minute. Randall, I got to tell you, man, I'm going to have to let you go, man, because our allotted time. I miss you, man. You know, I haven't been back to Nashville. You know, I had my...
That's only 10 minutes. I thought this was our show, man.
Well, I know, but I need to get on with other topics. But, you know, I haven't been back to Nashville, and I can't. And it just hurts me because, you know, that townhouse that I had that my mom and dad left me, I lost in that flood. And
you still got the townhouse, right?
No, I lost it in that flood, dude. I was insured out the ass. It's a long story. I'll tell you about another time, but I learned a lot about it.
Well, Rusty, my brother, I talked to him earlier. He said next time I talk to tell you hello.
Well, yeah, because Rusty was my dude. He was great. Whenever I had anything that needed to be done, he was right there. Like, you know, Mr. Fix Everything.
Right.
And you please tell him and the family that I said hey too. And I miss you, buddy. I miss you. And you know, if you ever want to come out this way, I got a big old sofa. You're welcome. But I have five
That's
cats.
All I need, man. A soap and a shower.
Yeah,
man. I appreciate you calling me and all, and I appreciate it and enjoyed talking to you. And hey, everybody in there, take care of my Bob, man.
Oh, yeah.
Bad, man.
I love you, Randall Crawford. Thank you, buddy. I'll speak to you soon.
I'll bring my skinny butt out there pretty soon.
Hey, dude, you know, the beach is like a mile. Hey, we can walk to where O.J. killed Nicole. It's right around the corner from my apartment.
Yeah, we just go to West Hollywood and have some drinks and be done with it.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go, man. Thank you so much, Rand.
Call an Uber.
Uber.
Bye.
Goober? We call it Goober here.
Goober. I love you, buddy. I'm going to let you go. Bye, Randall.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Bye.
All right.
Later, bye.
Randall Crawford, cool. Ladies and gentlemen. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, and a shout out to Janie Burke. because Randall and Janie are inseparable, and Miss Janie Burke, and Janie Burke Laird. And hi, Janie, and your husband, who he's a swell guy, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head. All right, now we're going to get into our studio guest, Mr. Matt Baca, at the Bob Dean Show.
Yay
for Matt Baca, but for the Bob Dean Show, you know.
Golf club.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for sitting through our traffic report and our Blast from the Past, my friend.
Oh, that guy was awesome. They
Randall
were both great.
He's just great. You know, for being such a jerk, I'm blessed with marvelous friends. I really am. And anyway, but so Matt, and speaking of marvelous friends, I haven't seen you in a while, but we've been buddies for, I think it's longer than 5 years.
I got here about 5 years ago.
It had to be five. That was at the Yoo-Hoo Room at the Flappers.
Up in Burbank.
Club in Burbank. Mm-hmm.
But you know, LA, it's like there's no season, so time just kind of blurs together, and then you wake up and you're like, crap, I've been here 10 years.
Yep,
or
warm and sunny
years.
All the friggin' time.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
We get one day of rain, and everybody's like, people literally stand outside like in the movies with their arms extended and their face up. Seriously.
It's like a Denzel Washington movie, Redemption or something like that.
Now, you are from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
That's in New Mexico.
Now, did you move here from Las Cruces to LA?
No, I lived in Colorado for 14 years.
Oh, that's
years.
Right, Denver.
Yeah, Denver, and then I taught at Boulder, at the University of Colorado, Boulder. But that's always wild going back. So I go back and I'll teach like a summer course in the business school, and it's... Living in LA has been great, but you go back, and Colorado is wonderful, but just the pace is different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Randall was talking about rent, you know, tripling, quadrupling, whatever, like, you know, because everyone wants to move to like Tennessee, and that's the way it is in Colorado. Like, there's like something like an insane number, like 1,600 people a week or something like moving from all over. So I rented a studio downtown Denver in Five Points District. It was a nice studio. It was like, needed a little work, you know, like the floors and everything, but it was like $8.95 a month. It was super cheap. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to LA and I went back. I was kind of just to, I don't know why I did it, but I went on to, what is it, Zillow? And Googled like how much the management company sold it for. It was like $399,000 just for a one bedroom, one bath. But it's funny because everybody, you go back and all the people in Colorado, they're so livid. They're like, damn, like the rents are going up and this was our place and blah, blah, blah.
Same as in Nashville. Mm-hmm.
But then LA, because I have a lot of real estate buddies out here, and they're just like, yep, the Chinese are just buying everything. And then they just casually slip up on
their, and you know what? That's something I've argued with people about. It's called, because I followed that LA Times years ago, and it's called flash buying. And the friggin' Chinese are buying up everything. And that needs, and yeah, I said it, the friggin' Chinese are buying up everything. Yeah. And this is, you know, I don't mean that as a racist remark, and I'm sure that a lot of them are lovely people, but come on, man. We're talking about the damn president now and his damn concubine, Stormy. I mean, you know, who the fuck cares? I mean, I care about, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get on that. Even though my friend Johnny Walker, who I love you, Johnny, and you were one of our first guests on the show. You were very, very politically minded, and I saw what you said today about what Dolly Parton would not speak up on her political views. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, except that the topic that the Chinese are buying everything up should be something to be concerned about. I mean, first-time buyers. I know I've had at least three friends who were like in their mid-30s, couples, who, you know, their combined income is pretty sizable, but they're looking at homes, and before they can even be qualified, somebody buys it in cash sometimes over what they want. Right. It's huge, and it's going on everywhere.
Well, it's funny because that's, you know, I teach at UC Irvine, and there's a ton of Chinese students that go there, and the parents will just buy them $1 million house, and they won't, you know, party in it, whatever, but they're not there a lot. But yeah, the flash buying is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's you know, when a country is liquid like China, some debt, but not like U.S.
And what's everybody bitching about this? I'm sorry. I'm not as versed as I should be before I open my mouth about it, but Donald Trump wants a 10% tariff on imported aluminum. Hell yes. Yeah. You know what? Okay. Oh, we can hear the horn outside.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous because all of our mines and everything that have been shut down, I'm a big tree hugger and all that sort of thing. But all of our textiles are coming. That cracks me up about, oh, Nissans are made here in America. Toyotas are made here in America. You know, all, but yeah, but they're made with textiles imported from other countries.
Right.
You know, which just puts a lot of... Anyway, so Matt, you are also, you're a comedian, but you're also an educator.
Yes. Yes.
And you are at UC Irvine, you said, and you're doing business prep?
Yeah, to prep all the international students for the program. It's like in the orientation, so it's like a, it's like an intensive several-day boot camp, essentially. But it just, it's language, it's culture, some, you know, how Americans do business, how we, you know, you get into how the rest of the world learns versus the U.S. So like China and India specifically, it's all rote learning, memorization. They got cram schools. They got to cram for their finals, whatever. And when they get to business schools like MBAs or MS in finance, it's a lot more synthesizing information. So the students come here and they think, oh, this is just going to be, you know, I just study everything and then there's a cumulative final, and that's not the way it is. It's very participatory. You know, your professors will ask you, oh, Bob, what was your analysis on the case? And that throws off a lot of students because they're not really ready for it. But I've been doing these programs for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's exciting because, you do kind of see the changes in, you know, get to get exposed to different cultures in Latin America and Asia and Russia and like all that.
Well, and Irvine is in the OC, Orange County, which
behind
is
behind the Orange Curtain.
But it's a it's a very affluent area and community. Yeah. Very, it's sort of like, for my Nashville friends who are listening, the OC and Irvine would be like Williamson County versus Davidson County.
Right.
And but yeah, so it's a, it been, and it's a beautiful area.
And Irvine, it's funny because UC Irvine, the guy that started or donated and created the, it's the Palmerage School of Business. He's a Persian American guy, but he essentially invented Hot Pockets. So he,
no kidding.
He was in real estate. That was his big thing. That's where he made it all. I mean, he's a billionaire, but his kind of hobby was like developing new food products. So he started Chef America in Lakewood, Colorado, which I was staying with friends of mine in Colorado, and they had a bottle opener that said, you crack open a beer and it says Hot Pockets. Like it sings it. I said, where did you get this? And my buddy said, my buddy worked for Chef America, and they gave, and so it was like, cause Chef America was the ones that they did all the research in the 80s that there were going to be the children of like yuppies, like the latchkey kids, which I was, that would need heatable, microwavable food. And so he was the guy that is.
And that was way before GMOs were in everything except corn.
Right, right.
So that's
corn
pretty cool.
Syrup and everything. So it's a great program. The staff is wonderful. I love working with the students. And it's not, you know, I'm not a tenured professor. I don't teach like 16 weeks. I don't know if I could do that, but I, you know, I'm only there for a few days, but I do a bunch of their programs ongoing. So it's
and
very
you
exciting.
And any other institutes of higher learning that you were saying that you substitute high school sometimes?
I've done that. I got my master's way back when in education. I substitute taught in Albuquerque. That was pretty crazy. That was like almost got jumped by a bunch of cholos, and I was so young and naive. I was like late 20s. I was wearing like round John Lennon glasses. I was wearing like a sweater vest, and I was carrying a satchel, and I was like, I don't know what I was carrying in a satchel, like my lunch or something. But I was like, oh, I'm gonna reach these kids. And I was subbing a woodshop class at West Mesa High School in Albuquerque, and it was just totally hood in the hood. And I walked in, and it was just, the room was just trashed, and the, you know, the teacher's instructions was to just roll out that AV cart, you know, and show a movie, and it was Stargate SG-1 because we want to look at woodshop, I guess, in the future. That's how it has to do it. Anyway, this
oh, cholo, that sounded with a labyrinth cry.
Yeah, right. look at Kurt Russell's beret. That's so fashionable. But this cholo kept razzing me and kept making fun of me, saying things about my parents, and I was kind of taken it. And then I just got really upset, and I said, you know, I don't know what I said. And then he spit on the ground like a loogie and spit on the ground. And this guy was like total cliche, wearing a wife beater and like had a tattoo, like of a tear. Shaved head. And I was like, you're going to die of clicheosis. You know what I mean? Like, rest in peace, my child, you know?
Clicheosis. Clicheosis. Word of the day.
And so he spits on the ground, and I was like, clean, you know, pick that up, clean that up. And he just picks up like a piece of paper that was on the floor and like scoops it up, shoves it in my face. And I was like, you're being a real boop. I won't say it for you. I'll do a beep like off. And he was like, I'm going to kick your ass, sissy. And I was like, after school. Like, I was like, bring it on, or it's a date. I don't know what I said. But you know,
3 o'clock behind the gym.
Exactly. And he left. And this kid, I remember this kid was just reading the school newspaper, and he had glasses, and he looked over, and he was like, you know, Mr. Brock, he's going to come back. He's going to kick your ass. And I was like, oh, like, so I like apologized like profusely when he came back, like third period, like with his homies. I was like, I'm really sorry. You know, when you said my mom was, you know, whatever, like, you know, I kind of lost it. And he's like, that's okay, I say. And then we like did our handshake, and then he left. And then I found out that that teacher, it was like they were on vacation, but they weren't on vacation. They were on like disciplinary leave, because that woodshop teacher cracked some kid in the head with a 2x4, but they didn't bother telling me, like, hey, you're walking in, yeah, you're walking into Cholo Nam, so just, you know, get ready for the chopper. And I just stand there like William Dafoe as I get shot, like platoon. But anyway, but that was
it's really not funny, but it's hilarious.
You know, anyway, so it just, and you and I were talking earlier, like, you get a good feel for discipline or kids, like when you're in schools and you're seeing different eras. And overall, like, Albuquerque kids were okay, but then like I subbed it in Colorado, and it was kind of this school in Boulder, and told this kid, like, I cussed, or I said, sit down. It was an ESL class. And I left school, and this guy in the suit comes up to me. He goes, are you Matt Baca? And I was like, oh, did you want an autograph? Like, I had like my pen ready. I really thought he was going to, you know, he had seen me at the comedy club. And he was like, you said a harsh word against Maria in your third period class. Do you remember that? And I was like, yeah, I mean, she was totally ignoring, you know, what the teacher wanted. And I, you know, I kind of lost it, and I apologized. And he said, well, that really, and I swear he said, that really damaged her psyche. And I was like, well,
start carrying a puppy.
Yeah, right. Start carrying like a trauma dog or a trauma cholo. I don't know. But.
Chihuahua.
Anyway, is that a tattoo?
Chihuahua.
Is that a tattoo chihuahua with an teardrop? Essay. But anyway, but then I was just like, you deserve the kids that you have created. Yeah, it's got, why is that wearing a red bandana? Get down. It's a cholo crib. No, but anyway.
My first job in L.A. was at Nelly's Deli, Nelly's Catering, ladies and gentlemen, like on Stoner Avenue. Oh, it's a sweet
good
little.
Stuff. Where is it?
It's all, on Stoner. And okay. and Barrington.
Nice.
And it's in the alley in the back, and it's a great, they do all the catering for UCLA and all these big businesses.
Oh,
and but it's this tiny little cafe that's only open Monday through Friday till 2 p.m. So go over there sometime. The food is great. And,
right. Nelly's Deli.
Yeah, but that was my first job here in L.A. I was a 42-year-old sandwich delivery boy. And so we're sitting in there, and you know, there's some business. It's people that walk there from the businesses and around where the train just came through around Barrington area back there. And so there's some like trucking companies, that sort of thing. Well, these two large Hispanic girls came in, right. And I'm sitting there doing little roll ups, you know, the paper towels and the, you know, that roll up y'all, you know, with the napkin with the knife and fork in it.
Yep,
and I'm sitting there with this other big Mexican dude, and Omar, who's still my friend to this day. And these two girls come in with their own, one girl had her own lunch, and the other girl bought something. And the dining room was pretty much empty. And the girl that brought her own lunch went over to the salad bar and started helping herself to stuff. And I looked at her and I go, you know what? I said it across the room. I go, that is so tacky. And she turned around, and her eyes got really big, and she sat down, and she and her girlfriend were making these eyes and mumbling.
Yeah.
And Omar goes, man, you want to talk to those cholas like that?
No.
She'll stab you. Let and I was like, oh, please.
He's
like,
let her
like,
have those pepperoncinis,
he's
bro.
Exactly. The cherry tomatoes. He's like, I'm not kidding, man. And I was so, yeah. But there's no point in that story. But
I grew up in Las Cruces, and in my when it was a junior high, not middle school, Alameda Junior High, it was like Fort Apache, the Bronx. And there was like every Friday, it was like chola fights. And they they'd grab their hairs and they'd be, what are you looking at, puto? And you'd be like, nothing, I'm not looking at you. You know, I'm peeing my pants everything. And it's like, it's a different, culturally, it was way different than the Anglo culture.
I tell people that, you know, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, but we moved there when I was 12. So I was born in now historic Levittown, Pennsylvania. And the point of that being is that up until I was 12, it could not, the show The Wonder Years is absolutely identical to our growing up, and it was great. But I went to this, but I remember my mother telling my teacher that it was okay, and my mother was a cross between Maude and Marie on Everybody Loves Raymond. Because she was very outspoken tall and really said whatever
That's
was on
your
her
mom?
Mind. Well, my late mom, yeah. But she was also the type, she was Serbian, so she'd be like, let me feed you. Do you want a sandwich? Have your friends over, you know, blah, blah, blah. The point is, I remember her telling my teacher, you know, it's okay if you slap him if he gets out of line. I encourage you to do so. And I mean, we never got beaten, you know, we got a slap or whatever. And I remember in our neighborhood, if, you know, when all the kids are running in, you know, our little, now we're white men of privilege, but we were little, our punks and our bare feet and our cutoffs and our Schwinn bikes. And if I got out of line at Mrs. McGee's house, so mom was like, you know, she could, you know, not hit you, but she could whack you on the butt and, you know, and, but now you can't even look at somebody.
No, and that's the thing where you get, like I say, I'll still substitute teach like up at Palos Verdes. And I was, brought my lunch and eating the lunch during this class, I was proctoring an exam or something. And some student had finished or, I don't know. And then he was looking at me and I was eating my lunch and I was like, oh, he's like, we really connected because I'm like his teacher and maybe I'm better than his teacher like that he has currently and we have this bond. And he was like, Mr. Baca. And he like points behind me and the sign says, please do not eat any products with peanuts. And I was eating a peanut butter sandwich, you know, because of the peanut allergy. Like, it could be deadly. And then it was like, I just stopped mid-chewing. Why is that girl? Why is Cindy going into anaphylactic shock? I don't know.
Listen, have you ever seen anybody with a nut allergy go, it happens in like 5 seconds. I did that when I worked at this restaurant in Miami. It was a really swank place, and the apple tort dessert, the lady's like, does it have any nut products? And I'm like, and I was like, oh, no. It's just a layer of, you know, a layer of almond paste. And she ate it. And I mean, like, I turned around to five, and it was the whole thing. It was like her face was all swollen. Her eyes were closed. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And she's like,
did she have to have a pen?
She had her EpiPen and all that. But I was, because just take it seriously. But that's what all these women do now when they come there. So it's like, I'm allergic to romaine lettuce and spinach.
Have you seen the Amy Schumer one with her and Parker Posey? No. Oh, I'll send you the link.
Please
but it's
do.
Like they go to a restaurant and they're like, we can't have any no food can be around any nuts. And the guy's like, okay. And they're like, no, we're not effing around, Jared. Like, we can't. And he's like, okay, fine. And then he goes back. No, he goes, okay, well, there's some bread for you, but that has some nuts. And like, look, there's nuts, and they freak out. And then he gives them like a salad with like covered with peanuts, and then their heads explode. Which is so it's like exactly what you would go through.
God,
like
please.
People are like, you can't be near anything. And then you're like,
everything.
I'm really sorry, but yeah, I mean, so you got that like with peanut allergies, and then you've got one class they all have to. You know, whatever, put their phones on vibrate, and then they have a whole wall like a felt whatever.
Velcro.
Yeah, with all the little pockets for them to put their phones. And that's weird because I had never seen that.
Oh, my God. I have a cell phone allergy, and it's part of my act, and it's true. You know, people come into the bar, and I am not there to charge your fucking phone, people. And people just think now, I swear.
They just assume that.
50% of the customers that come in just assume that they can hand you their phone. And the other thing about it is my associates will gladly do it. I don't want to touch anybody's damn device.
It's flu season.
Well, not even that. Well, yeah, I'm a bartender, but I do wash my hands about 50 times a night. But no, I'm just not there to charge your damn phone, y'all.
Yeah,
so
that
just
makes sense.
Turn it off and stay off it.
That'd be a pet peeve of mine.
We're driving down Santa Monica Boulevard. I mean, Sunset through Beverly Hills today. Tops down on the car.
Nice.
Listening to a cassette tape that my friend Chasey Gentry made for me.
Is it a mixtape?
It's a mixtape called All Skate. And we're listening to friggin' like the Gap Band singing You Dropped a Bomb on Me or something. And there's this Jeep, like right out of Clueless next to us. And there are these four girls. And the driver's got blue hair. And the girl in the back seat's got these like totally outrageously cool big sunglasses on. They're all four of them are texting.
While driving.
Well, at the same time, all four of them. They're not making any kind. You losers. Texting losers. Call me old. I don't care. If you're texting all the time, you are a jerk.
That'd be funny. Like, you reverse it. Like, usually they're like, ooh, what music is that gross? And then you guys are like, ooh, you guys are damn. You guys are danger to, like, everybody on the freeway. Gross.
And next to drive away. Dennis was driving. And one of them looked over and I
going
to
go up.
And I did the air text. And I said really loud. I go, ooh, texting. And the one girl in the back was like, you're old. It's like when I go dancing, it never fails.
I love that about you, Bob Dean. Bob Dean show. That you do have that kind of from your mom, that mod kind of
no
vibe.
Filter.
Just, yeah, and just like you told that Hispanic lady, that's really tacky. Like with no filter. Because I'd be like, I don't know. I'm part Canadian, so I think part of that, I'm just so nice. Like, I just show people my palms like I'm a hostage negotiator. Like, please, you know. But I like your style.
But you know something? I mean,
that.
I feel
then
like
I'll get shot.
My road rage is out of control. It truly is. And
oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy. As a matter of fact, I spoke to Dr. James Harris about an appointment. Because anybody that's ever ridden with me, right? Am I lying? It's crazy.
Even when I'm driving, he's got road rage.
And it's like we're driving along, and I'll be like, Matt, you know what? I can't wait till we get up there. They've got the best burgers in the...
You stupid, beeping Chinese chicken, the 7 Series BMW. You obviously have no idea.
Anyway, Matt, make sure you get the sauce on the side.
It really gets drizzled.
And my friends, I swear, their eyes are wide and their jaws open. They don't know what to say. They're like, what the hell was that? And I'm like, I don't know.
But the nice thing is,
I can't help myself.
You're in a wagon, which is huge. And then what's the convertible?
It's a Chrysler LeBaron.
So it's huge. Well, not
no,
huge.
No, it's a little car.
It's just, oh, it's little.
It's a little car. Little.
I'm thinking you're like driving like a convertible tank, like an Eldorado, and being like,
that's what
get
I used
off
to
the
have.
Phone,
if I was,
Jacob.
The office checks immediately.
That's what I used to have. Well, the station wagon's pretty beat up on the outside, so people know that if I... you know, I'm honking at them, they better move because I will push. But on I use this in my act too. It's a true story on where the traffic's so bad at Santa Monica and the 405, right?
Yeah.
By the new art theater there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This Chola cut across all the lanes to, you know, to you know, and she like cut everybody off. We're only going like 4 miles an hour. So, of course, I'm the roadmaster, so I do the adult thing, and I, like, flip her off, right? She sees me in the rearview mirror. There's a child in a car seat on the right-hand side in the back. She gets out of the car, slams the door, and she's like this 60-year-old woman in a wife beater, and she had this big tattoo in progress. It was just the red outline. And she gets out, and she's got her fists, like, you know, like down like this, and she's going back and forth, left foot, right foot. She's going, get out of the car. Get out of the car. Come on, fucker. Get out of the car. And I'm smoking a Camel filter. And I hit the window. The electric window goes down. And I go, you are not serious. Just like that. I go, you are not serious. And she goes, get out of the car. I'm going to kick your ass. And I take another long drag. And I go,
love it.
I go, nice ink, Grandma.
Oh, my God. No,
and
I
swear to God. And she was so enraged. She went to the car. And she went to, like, pull the trunk. And of course, and the light's red. And she opened, and the trunk, and the gas thing pops out, because I knew she wanted to open the trunk, but she hits the wrong thing, and the gas door pops open, so I'm like, which made her even more angry.
Wait, she reached in to pull
she
up.
She opened the door,
okay.
And you know how, like, in a lot of cars, the
and
gas
And you're
tank,
just sitting there, just watching her?
I was
her own car. She went back to her own car.
Oh, yes. She went to her car, which was in front.
Oh,
the
light's
still
okay.
Red. She goes to, like, hit the trunk thing to open the trunk when she's driving a Camry or something. And the gas door pops open. So I start laughing and pointing at her, which made her even more angry.
I see.
Then the trunk pops open, and she goes and literally gets out a fucking driver, a golf club.
Dude, that's like Johnny Drama
even,
from
she,
Entourage.
She didn't even have
right
a set of golf clubs.
What
it was just
bro?
A golf club. And she starts coming toward the car, and I swear.
No way.
And I just, I go, and in my head, I didn't even panic. I was just like, well, time to go. So I put it in reverse, and I backed up as far as I could.
were other people looking?
The
and people like,
oh, yeah,
taking
people
pictures?
Were like, what the fuck?
The girls from the Jeep were like, oh my God, this is totally
green,
Instagram.
So, and I just moved my way into the left lane, and she's swinging the damn club. She followed me all the way to Beverly Hills.
Well, in her car.
In her car. Yeah.
Like Terminator.
Well, anyway,
Chola, Terminator,
I
white Peter.
Don't screw with it.
Dude, I would be so... I get really, like, freaked out with situations like that. Because that's happened, like, in New Mexico. Because everyone's like, you look at somebody long enough, you know, when you're looking at it, say it's like,
it's
nothing.
A serious respect issue.
Yeah. And then the fact that she followed you. And then what, did you just kind of do a few different turns?
I lost her. I lost her on I lost her right at the... what's that really swank hotel on Santa Monica? where all the damn Rolls Royces are always pulling. Across from Subway. You know, right at Wilshire and Wilshire and Santa Monica South.
Oh, it's a Lowe's?
No. It's that boutique. Well, anyway, I kind of cut through their driveway.
Dude, that's
where
great.
It's $35 a quarter hour to park. Uh-huh. I learned that. Anyway, where were we? Thank you all.
Dude, that was great. That would be a great sitcom. Like, of just, like, you know, the Bob Dean Show.
Yeah.
Tonight at 9 on ABC. But just that scene, just you're like, your cigarette is hanging down like Dan Aykroyd and Ghostbusters. Like, hey, Grandma, nice ink.
Listen.
It's classic.
I'll tell one more road rage story. I'm coming down Veteran across from Bad News Bears Park there, you know, on Veteran, coming from UCLA. And there's this guy going the other way in this big pickup truck, this big Hispanic guy. And I had the top down, and he's yelling at some homeless guy that's crossing the street. So my top's down, his window's down. And I'm like, fuck off, man. Let the guy cross the street. Well, he makes a U-turn, and I turn right on Ohio, and I get up to Sepulveda. And he's right on my ass. So at the light at Sepulveda, he passes me. I'm sorry. He passed me on Ohio and, like, slams on his brakes. So I stop, and I'm, like, smoking away. Cool as a cucumber. He gets out of the truck, and right when he gets close to the car, I just put it in reverse and I back up about 10 feet. And I'm like, and it's just like in the movies, like when your friend gets out and you pull up 2 feet.
Right.
God is my witness. And he comes running back toward the car, and I put it in drive, and I go up about 10 feet. And then the light turns green, so I go around his truck, and I'm cruising out of Ohio. He passes me again, four-way stop, gets out, does the same thing. And I just keep backing up and going forward. And he chased me. And so I just went over to the police station in West, you know, right up to three blocks. And I just pulled up in front. And I got out. And I was like, shall we go in? And then he just flipped me off and drove away. But it was hilarious, man. I forgot about that. I'm just like, and I'm smiling and laughing. And he's like, God, and he kept chasing me like a moron. How much time do we have, Sammy?
Oh, you're at 55 right now.
You know what? We have to say goodbye, but you know what? Every guest on the Bob Dean Show, is always invited to come back.
And, thank you very much.
You know, please come back again. We'll get some more, get a couple comics on.
Can I tell them about my show real quick?
Oh, please do.
You guys can find me on Facebook, Matt Baca, or mattbaca.com, MATTB as in boy, ACA. And then next month, I'm in Las Cruces, New Mexico at my home church I grew up in. Maybe your friend will be cleaning the pipe organ. Who knows? Because it is an old Methodist
Randall
church.
Crawford.
It's a one-man show. It's called Unconventional. It's essentially how God works through us in unconventional ways. And it's a just all-ages clean show, open to the public, April 7th. Message me on any of my channels.
Congratulations. April 7th
At 7 p.m. in Las Cruces, New Mexico, University United Methodist Church. All ages clean show. It's not a religious message, just a message, just kind of that God saves us from cholos.
Yeah, I think so.
And
that sounds great
for you.
So. Sweet, I swear, for real.
In a truck, and a wife beater.
Congratulations. Tell us your website again.
Sure, it's mattbaca.com.
Okay, and you're on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. Just find me on Facebook. Buddies with Bob Dean.
And you know what? I keep forgetting to plug myself. Please, everybody, BobTheSurlyComic.com.
Nice.
I don't even know what my stupid Twitter and I've tweeted like twice. Everybody's like, you need to tweet every day, twice a day, like brushing your teeth.
It's called high touch. it's called being a loser.
Okay, well, I guess that's all the time we have for today. We're hovering at 6,000.
Awesome.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it? We're very proud. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Zach Herndon. And let's see what else. Please look at anybody, because every 9 out of 10 people have an iPhone. So please tell all your friends, if you haven't already yourself, to subscribe on iTunes to the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Please. Please rate and review. And for those of you with an Android device such as mine, you can listen in on the app Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. And then, as I said, Zach Herndon is responsible for a lot of my videos.
Power to Zach.
He puts up the episode on my website, BobTheSurlyComic.com. So thank you all very, very much. God bless. Yes, I said the G word. And thank you for listening to The Bob Dean Show. Yeah.